schedule of treatment. And seeing that there's no objections, we are in. And I will first hear from Chris. Where is Chris? Come on up, Chris.
David Maricals. This is an issue that we've brought for you last couple of months, and I don't have anything additional to add to what's been discussed previously. So with that, if you want to open up the public comment. More questions for me?
Yeah, let's do questions first, then we'll go to public comment, and I'll start my left, Robert.
Yeah, too. The season for sending out business licenses is fast approaching.
Yes.
Do we have to decide this at tonight's meeting, or do we have an opportunity to do more work on this and then vote on it at the next voting meeting? Or is this basically it if we're going to get it done this year?
That is staff's strong request. We do need to get the rates into the accounting system tested properly, make sure everything's going like it should. Is it an absolute drop-dead date? No, we could push this one more meeting, but that's really hamper our progress on that if that's the choice council makes.
All right, very good. John?
Chris, if this is defeated and we roll back to the original tax rates, then tax bills could go out as, I mean, it would be decided today, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I have a number of questions on the six classes. I stayed up last night a little past my normal bedtime trying to figure out the six classes. I looked at our code of ordinances and couldn't find where they were defined, what type of businesses were in there. Correct me, they're incorporated by reference and they're really not in our code to tell me that grocery stores are in class one and auto mechanics are in class six. Is that correct?
That is correct. What should be happening according to our code of ordinances is every couple of years we should look at the profitability ratios published by the IRS and place the businesses in the various six classes. That's an administrative function, not a legislative function. The ordinance itself was a resolution establishing the rates for each class is a different issue, and that's what's before you tonight.
Okay. Okay.
All right, thanks, John. Danny?
Chris, this year we had in our budget for 2009 roughly $2.373 million,
the original budget, yes, sir.
Yes, okay. And right now we are close to approximately 2.1, is that correct?
We're a little bit shy of that, but that is correct.
Okay. When we did the 2010 budget, the $2 million, we were taking a look at what we were possibly going to get from this year and using that figure, is that correct?
The 2010 budget was computed. Again, we're estimating because we don't know performance. It was computed based on the current businesses, what we anticipated sales volume to be for 2009, minus the drop-off of some businesses with the addition of some businesses, and we came to the $2 million mark.
Okay. You know, everybody knows here, you know, the flat rate was brought up. It's not a mandatory thing. Does it even the playing field across? I think that's one of the things you have to look at. Playing field across the board. You know, all businesses would be taxed at the same rate for, gross sales and number of personnel. And it was brought up earlier about everybody doesn't pay the same amount of house taxes on your house tax. Well, I am a senior and I do pay the same as everybody else, so I must be missing out somewhere. I think a couple of things that must be brought into the fact is that we are looking at a possible, we're not looking at, one of the things I think we need to state is we're not trying to increase the tax amount. We're trying to keep that amount basically the same as last year. Is that correct in your computations?
honestly, there's been so many discussions going back and forth. We've computed many numbers, as low as the 1.9, as high as the 2.4. So.
Okay, well, I will say that that's my objective, that we maintain that tax, total tax amount coming in through the city, because our budget is very tight, and we don't have what we would call a lot of rainy day fund money in the budget. So the other areas, as you well know, some of the cities are projecting a downturn in the sales for this year, and some as high as in double digits. And in that case, we would not only have a refund due for businesses from this year, but we would also have a decrease in the 2010 tax money coming in. So there's it's kind of a double hit there. Whether we go with I'm not hard over on the flat tax rate. It seems to be more fair across the whole entire spectrum of businesses. The 85% of the tax revenue comes from, and I learned this today, by the way, comes from the gross sales. Only 15% comes from the number of employees. However we do this, it's just that, we took in approximately $2.1 million this year. I think kind of to have our budget come out and to provide the services for the citizens that we have said, and to start working on the infrastructure, I think we have to keep that number in that ballpark. Whether we do it with flat tax or, in six categories, that's one of the things. In the figures that I have here, if you figure in a 10% reduction in sales, and the number that would have to come out would be basically 71 cents per thousand plus 14 on the percent tax flat rate. So that's the numbers that we have to regurgitate around up here and decide what we want to do on that. I think it's a fiduciary responsibility of ours to make sure that the city government has enough money without going out and policing the people. That's not one of the things we're in the business of doing here. And probably if anybody up here, I'm probably the one that would vote, against any type of tax rate. Remember that if we go to flat rate, there are some people that will get a tremendous increase, like was spoken earlier. They are, as I recall, approximately 40% of the total tax business digest. So those are some of the numbers you can crunch around. Median tax is $258. Of a business license. If you went to a 71 cents and a 14, it would be $281. That's the median. There would be others that would be well different than that, and the spectrum would be significantly different. For someone that's only paying 100, their taxes would jump to somewhere in the neighborhood of 300. Those are a couple things you have to consider when you're considering this method.
All right, thank you, David. You didn't have anything? Okay. Yes, John?
A couple more questions for Chris. Chris, on our current tax structure, we have six classes. I'm going to simplify just a little bit. We have a tax rate of 18 cents and a tax rate going all the way up, graduated up to 78 cents. Mr. Shorrell just mentioned a 71 cent rate. If we were to decide to go up to a 71 cent rate, that would be a 400% increase on the class one that only pays the 18 cents. 400%. A few minutes ago, I just said that I wouldn't approve anything without community buy-in, community knowledge. After doing the research and staying up kind of late last night, I don't think we've done our due diligence. I don't think we've notified the citizens of the business owners that there could be a 400% increase of taxes. That is a huge concern. I don't understand also what's the long-term validity of this flat tax. It might be the right way to go. I'm not an economics guy. I don't really know for sure. But if we charge everybody the same rate, are we then benefiting lowering the tax in Class 6? Again, I couldn't find who was a Class 6, who was a Class 1. But if we raise the rates from Class 1 to 18 cents to 71 cents, and let's just say for argument's sake it's grocery stores, are we then going to tax grocery stores out of the city of Dunwoody where they can't compete here in our city? And are we giving an economic advantage to one class of people? Again, I don't know who the classes are. Is the city of Dunwoody going to be tax advantageous to one group but disadvantaged to the others? I don't know who Class 1, Class 2, Class 3 are, and I'm not sure we've thought through the fact of the flat rate of how it's going to affect the mix of businesses here within our city. I think this needs to be thought out. I want to know who it's affecting, who the taxes are going up, who the taxes are going down. I really would prefer to defer this or defeat this tonight because I don't think we, the city, have done our due diligence on this.
All right, good. Thank you, John. Yes, two issues there. The first one, as far as working with the community, as far as figuring out the impact of this, we've reached out to the chamber and have worked with them throughout this process, open dialogue and free exchange of information and looking at their businesses. The impact to the various rates, there's less than 0.5% of the businesses are in tax class one. What we found is that most of the businesses that would be impacted negatively by this are in the tax class three. Those are mostly your retailers and your restaurants that are in that particular group. And the predominantly tax class six companies are more of your service type industries, the temp agencies, healthcare professionals, real estate managers, insurance agents. Those are predominantly your tax class six. The tax class one, two, four, and five have very little amount of businesses in them. They're mostly three and six.
So your stay-at-home businesses then would be mostly classified as six?
Depends on what they do. There are some at-home businesses that are retailers. They just don't have their customers at their house. But most of them are sixes. The internet website consultant, for example, who has all his customers all over the state but works out of his home would be a six. The location of the business is irrelevant. It's based entirely on what they do. And most home-based businesses are service oriented and therefore are in the sixes.
What about the other cities surrounding us? What type of tax rates do they have?
The various cities that are around our area almost entirely use the gross receipts method. One exception, for example, is the city of Alpharetta that has just the per employee charge. They don't factor in gross receipts. We have looked at all the neighboring jurisdictions who would share their information with us. We've presented information in regards to Sandy Springs, Johns Creek, Fulton County, for example, their tax rates that they use. And, of course, we already know what DeKalb County uses. So we have done our research in those areas to see how we compare. And I can say without doubt that all the numbers that's been tossed around still place even our highest rate that's being discussed well below what those neighboring jurisdictions are currently charging.
Okay, so no matter what we do, we're going to be lower than our neighbors, even at a flat rate. But except for DeKalb. But yet it still would increase the class 1, 2, 3, 4, and possibly 5 tax rates on what we might be thinking about. So their taxes would still go up.
That is correct. And the reason why all five of them go up is because so many of our businesses, over 60%, are already in the six. So to keep it even overall, everybody gets pulled up and the tax class six gets lowered down to average that all out.
again, I just have concerns over the long-term viability of this. I don't know how it's going to work for classes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Are they going to pass those costs on to the consumer? Are they going to not be able to do so and therefore go out of business? I have concerns, and I don't think anybody has the answers for me.
And nobody can say for certainty, but because we're talking about pennies on the thousands of dollars, I mean, we're talking about 0.01%, it's going to have such a minor impact compared to their overall gross sales and even their net income that my guess is this is going to be a non-event for almost all the businesses. You know, Macy's isn't going to decide whether or not to locate in the city of Dunwoody based on their business license being X thousand versus another $1,000 figure. It's not going to make that much of an impact to a larger company like that.
Okay.
Yeah, Warren, if I may, Councilman, the other consideration, I think you bring up an excellent point, is we need to look at this from an economic development standpoint, what the impact is going to be. And I think two things that are important to look at. One is, and we talked about this on the building permit discussion, is we really need to look at the totality of our taxing structure. Mm-hmm. So when you take comparisons to other communities, you got to look at what is our millage rate from property owner standpoint. What is our business license? What is our building permit? What kind of other taxes are in the community on sales tax and any other tax or fees that are added to that? And I think you look at the totality of that, and I think Dunwoody's in a very attractive spot from a market standpoint. I think that's an important consideration, that we can't look at this just in a vacuum and say, okay, if we raise our business license, then what will happen? I think the other factor from my experience in working with business communities and different communities I work for is that location and siting decisions are based on a number of factors. The first one is always going to be, what's the location? Second is going to be, what is the cost? So, for example, if you're going to be running, say, 20,000 square feet of office space, and you're looking at the city of Dunwoody, you're not going to be saying, okay, well, I'm not really concerned about what my per square foot rate is going to be. I want to know how much that business license is. I mean, that's going to be, I wouldn't even say a second or third consideration. So you're going to look at, where is that office located, compared to where my employees or my customers live. What are we dealing with, and for how much is my lease for this office space going to be? And then I think, as a factor that is all the way down at the bottom of the list, is, what is your business license structure? In most of the places, they don't even, unfortunately, realize what the business license structure is until they're already here. So I don't think it's a competitive decision. And then when they find out, they've been pleasantly surprised that we're lower than comparative areas that they looked at as well.
And I guess my concern really is the notification of those businesses which are eligible for a 400% tax increase. I guess that's where my concern is tonight. I mean, I want to learn more. I want to know if the flat rate is going to be beneficial for the long-term viability of the city, and that's what's important to me. But then again, I also want to make sure that the changes that we propose are well vetted and discussed openly and not decided in a vacuum. I want to make sure that it's well vetted.
And the way we accomplished that, obviously we couldn't have all 2,000 businesses meet with us and discuss this, so we have worked very proactively with the chamber to make sure that all the options, as they continue to be presented, have been discussed with them, and the variations and the impact on their businesses. The overall demographics of the chamber don't mirror the complete demographics of the city business license, but they're close enough that we can get a good representation of everybody in their mix. They do have the Publix, for example, is in their membership, and then they also have a lot of tax class sixes. They have a significant amount of restaurants in there as well. So we have talked with them and continue to work with them on this, and we felt that was the best way to vet this with the community as a whole.
Okay, one final question, if I could. If this is defeated and we roll back to the old method, would we still get to our 2010 budget numbers of the $2 million for business licenses?
Keeping in mind that number was an estimate, until we know what 2009 gross receipts are, I can't say for certainty, but we did base our 2010 budget with an estimate of 2009 sales being 10% lower than they were in 2008.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Other questions for Chris on this? Okay. Thank you. All right, with that, we're going to move to public comment on
public
this.
Hearing.
I'm sorry.
Public hearing?
Yeah, I've already opened the public hearing. Okay. Thanks. Well, someone get no-no's again, because I decided to talk for our city attorney. Okay, we are going to, I'm going to open public comments, if there are no objections. Public comments are open. Anybody who wishes to speak in favor of this, please make your way to the podium. Mr. Grant. Okay, if you could move over just for a second, if you're not speaking in favor. If anybody wishes to speak in favor, please make your way. All right, you're in good shape. Anybody that wishes to speak against, please make your way to the podium.
I don't necessarily think I'm against, okay? And let me say first, what Chris tells you is absolutely correct. He has been tireless in helping me and helping us figure out where we are and what this means. Very open, very transparent. I think that's what he's all about. I came in here 2 weeks ago and said to you, look, I think simplification is a good thing and I think we ought to pursue it. The first guy and the second guy that spoke tonight made a very good point. Should lawyers be taxed the same, you know, with the gross profit? Is 95% taxed the same as a grocery store whose gross profit is 20%? A net profit is 90% and 5%. And that doesn't make sense. So I've kind of backed up a little bit here and saying maybe we ought to really hang in there with our levels of taxation and, you know, really explore that further before we abandon it. The second thing I want to say is I don't think this, what we have today, represents an increase in taxation of the Chamber of Commerce. Our taxes, as a group, will go up $15,000. My taxes, in a normal year, this is a long way from normal, a normal year would go up, would almost double, would go up $4,000 and go from 6 to 10. That's pretty big stuff. I'm concerned that we need to meet the budget. And I think you're very wise to say your revenue is going to go down 10% and the sales are down. That might even be conservative. I think the way you get there, though, is not through raising the fees. I don't think you should ever run your business based on the bad year you ever run or based on all the years. But more importantly, I think the opportunity is to go on and get the rest of the businesses that are not licensed. Done a good job, but there's a lot of businesses that are still not. So there's an opportunity for revenue. I think you ought to send this thing back, because I'm troubled by one level, and that's a surprise to Chris, because I've never said that until tonight did. And I'm very troubled by the rate. I think 68% or 71%, and as Chris says, we have tried every rate you can possibly imagine. You know, I was at 58 here a week ago. But the rate increase, I think, is wrong, and I think for now we ought to just stay with the way they are. I speak to you as the chairman of the chamber, and a little bit is built with. Thank you.
Wonderful, thank you. Any other speakers, please make your way to the podium.
Just to educate in general, I believe when you turn 70, your taxes will probably go down. So in a couple of years, 3 years?
I believe that's 20 years. Just for the record.
You run 3 miles?
All right, very good. Anybody else that wishes to speak on this matter, please make your way to the podium. Seeing that there is no one, I am going to close public comments. And without objection, seeing no objection, I'm going to close this public hearing. All right, we're closed. Yes, Chris. Are you going to speak after she reads her?
I believe I'm the next person
up. Okay, Shannon, steal your thunder.
A resolution adopting and approving the schedule of fees for business occupation taxes and licensing in the city of Dunwoody, Georgia, and authorizing the mayor and city manager or their designees to execute any and all documents necessary for the implementation thereof.
And Mr. Mayor, if I may,
yes.
In this resolution, you'll notice in section one, should it be council's decision to move forward with this resolution, we do need to assign the three blanks there that are mentioned. And I would also like to add a Section 4 to this. Mm-hmm. One of the requirements of the state law is that anytime you exceed a budgeted number, that you are required to decide how to use that money. And during the budget amendment process, we actually lowered our projections by $300,000, and it looks like we're going to exceed our revised budget by about 1%. We're going to be coming in around 2.1, and our new budget is 2.07. With that, I would like to add a Section 4 in that reads, to the extent that we exceed the budgeted numbers, that we determine how those revenues will be used. Language something to the effect of that any revenues over the 2009 or 2010 budgeted numbers be applied to blank, and my suggestion would be to have that blank be just general operations.
Okay. All right, very good. Thank you.
Point of information.
Yes, please, Robert.
If this motion is defeated tonight, we don't need a motion to set new rates for the new year because the rates we set a year ago will still be
in effect. That's correct. But we would need to say what the revenues over the budgeted amounts should be used for.
Okay, how would we accomplish that, just out of curiosity?
I would say Section 1 basically read to leave the current rates in effect for the 2010 year and then have the Section 4.
Okay. All right.
Just a point of clarification on just a detail issue on Section 4. I prefer y'all not make that year specific so that the resolution can carry from year to year. And I think Chris had said, if the fiscal year 2009 exceeds the budget, or 2010, and just leave the year as blank and say that if in any year the budgeted revenue exceeds. The actual revenue exceeds budgeted revenue, then the surplus will be put into general operations.
Again, John, let me get to you. Hold on a second, Rob.
Would it make more sense to put it to contingency instead of general operations?
You can allocate it to any choice that you want.
All right, Robert.
Point of information. My sense is that creating a clause that allows us to do that isn't necessarily as urgent as setting a rate so that the tax bills can go out.
That's
so
correct.
So if we just defeat this as is, staff could come back with wording at a future date that would provide the statutory wording that's necessary, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Okay.
All right, very good. Thank you, Robert. Yes, Dennis.
Chris, again, I just want to ascertain for sure, John brought the subject up a while ago. If we go back to the tax rate that we are, we're at 2.1 million right now, and we're estimating a 10% decrease in sales, how are we going to hit our revenue figures to cover our budget for next year?
Part of our estimates for next year did factor in new businesses that would be identified.
We have talked about that, and that figure would be very, very difficult to get to any number that would cover the shortage at this date, unless we had talked, and there's really not any big ones out there, really. We'd be looking at small businesses and et cetera like that, which bring in what? The median is $250, I imagine, in that. So we would have to have a lot of them. My only concern is that we could cover a budget for the services that we told the citizens we're going to provide. That's my concern. Do we have that? Have we ascertained for sure that we've got that down? It just seems to me that we've got the same number of businesses with the same tax rate with a 10% decrease in sales, and a 10% decrease in sales of 2.1 million is roughly what? $10,000, I guess, or something like that. That puts us down, we're nibbling right at the line we have as far as our contingency is concerned for next year. Am I correct in that?
A couple things to keep in mind on that, and I don't think you're far off in your reasoning at all. One of which was the budget numbers that were prepared. It's always a moving target. We tried to hit that mark in the July, August, and September time frame, and as we get additional information come out, we'll certainly know a lot more. We don't at this time recommend lowering or changing our business license figures for 2010. But it is something we're definitely going to be watching in the early part of 2010 to make sure that we are, in fact, where we need to be. And if not, make adjustments accordingly.
What adjustments are there other than service cuts?
Anytime your budget's not in balance, you have two options. You either raise revenue or cut expenses, and those are your only two options.
Okay, so the budget number, though, for next year is an even two.
Right, that is correct.
And that's down from 2.1 change.
That's correct.
All right, other questions for Chris on that? I guess my last point,
Chris, would be with a 10% reduction in sales, we would be under 1.9 million.
Before factoring in new businesses, that is correct.
Okay. All right, any other questions for Chris? All right, thank you, Chris. All right, so we're back to the to resolution. Do we have a motion?
Make a motion to defer or to deny?
All right, second from, who was that from?
Yeah. Point of information. We need a motion to approve that gets defeated. Motion to defeat.
There's either a motion to approve defeated or there's no motion at all.
All right.
Hey, John, I went along with that. How about we had a second conference order? Okay, then.
I'll make
a motion to approve.
I will make the motion to approve with a smile, knowing I'm going to vote differently.
By Councilman Taylor and discussion on this, and I'll kick it off. I know this is one first and foremost. Hats off to Chris. I think anybody that's dealt with Chris, we are proud of your work and the time you've put into this and your communication efforts. And Mr. Grant and communicated that on behalf of the chamber. But you're a true talent, so we appreciate you sticking with this process. Not that you have a lot of choice, but we appreciate it nonetheless. But I'm gonna recommend that we do punt this football, and we do deny this. We go back, and we've got a retreat that will be coming up. I think we tackle this more in depth than John is the concerns you were raising, and I think some of the things that we need to look at. Staff, you had put together some good analogies of surrounding communities, but you know it's going to come down to, I know just as an example, Best Buy. The question is, okay, Best Buy and Dunwoody is we're charging 80% less taxes than next door at Sandy Spring. Are our residents getting 80% discount? Or are we providing less services? Or, I mean, those are the things that I think we have to look at as a council, as a community. Because the fact is, when we did form the city, we're providing services. I know as a business owner, I don't want my taxes to go down. And that might sound silly, but I don't. I want the police to come if I call them. We've had 4 break-ins pre-city in a matter of 4 months, and it took 45 minutes for the police to come on an alarm call. I want the police to come. I want the roads to be prepared. But these are things that, John, I think you're dead on, but these are things I think we need to talk and dive further into and look at the more specifics. Which again, I hats off on the information we did get, but I don't think we had enough time to really dive into the granular part of it, which we'll certainly be able to do in the next year. So that's my comment here, and let me throw the discussion out to Tom.
I think it's a good move. But the, you know, whenever government moves precipitously, quickly, I think it could disservice without fully looking at this. I would rather tighten the belt, live in the means for a year, and really do an in-depth study on this rather than approve the original motions or the original ordinance tonight. Because you know, you move quickly, you don't look at all the ramifications, and you might end up doing something that's hard to undo.
Any other comment on this discussion? Alright, all in favor of this motion to approve, please say aye. All in favor to deny, please say aye.
Aye.
Alright, another failure here tonight. As we work our way down.
Let's see.